himself will drive them out from before the people of Israel. Now here's what God wanted the Israelites to do. God promised that there's still land to be conquered, but I myself will drive them out. What I want you, Joshua, what I want you, Israelites, to do now is this. In verse 6 and 7, only allot the land to Israel for an inheritance as I have commanded you. Now therefore divide this land for an inheritance to the 9 tribes and half of the tribe of Manasseh. What Joshua is supposed to do now with all these land that were conquered, they are supposed to go and possess the land. And in chapter 13 to 21, you will see this word possess, dispossess, inherit, occupy. Those words repeated over and over and over again. And what they're supposed to do is, now they're supposed to conquer all these land already. They're supposed, each tribe, each one of the 12 tribes of Israel, they're supposed to go and take hold of them. If you read from chapter 13 to chapter 21, what you will see is these boundaries being defined. The tribe of Simeon, the tribe of Judah, Benjamin, my tribe, Ephraim, West Manasseh, Zebulun, Naphtali, East Manasseh, Gad, Reuben, each tribe, each clan, each family, they were supposed to have a piece of land that this was to take a hold of. And God said they are to be dividing that as an inheritance to the people. So every group of the people, every tribe is supposed to have a piece of land. And if you read the rest of those chapters, 9 chapters, and let me give you a sample of that, chapter 15. This is what you're going to read. Again, it's very dry and extremely boring. And here's what it says. The allotment, chapter 15, the allotment for the tribe of the people of Judah. For example, for the tribe of Judah, this is what you're going to get. According to the clans, reach southward to the boundary of Edom, to the wilderness of Zin at the farthest south, and their south boundary ran from the end of the Salt Sea, from the bay that faces southward. It goes out southward from the absence of Akrabim, passes along Zin, and goes up south to Kadesh Barnea, along the Hezron, up to Adar, turns from Karka. If you are interested, you look at the map, you'll find all these cities, and then you will be able to draw the boundary for Judah. And some of those cities were there. Now here's the thing. To us, it seems extremely boring. Why did God put them there? Why do I care? Now, I want you to put yourself in the shoes of the Israelites. If God promised you, I am giving you a house, I am giving you a prime piece of land in Arcadia, which will be a face value, market value of $5 million, all of a sudden, that boundaries will matter a lot to you, right? All of a sudden, you want to make sure that whatever that piece of land that I'm supposed to get is all that piece of land that I'm supposed to get. Now, let me give you an example. Many of you have been to this house. You guys know which house is this? My house. So, not this one, but this one. Now, there's several ways that we can talk about my house, the location of my house, identify my house location. For most of you, you will call it Ben and Hannah's house. And you were like, oh yeah, that's right there. Or for some people, it might be the fourth house south of Pastor Chun's house. Because I live really close to Pastor Chun, our senior pastor, literally 4 houses down. And so when we give direction, you want to go to Ben's house? Or go to Jed and Jensine's house, just 4 houses down. And people would know exactly where to go, because they know where Pastor Chun's house was, right? For other people, it might be, sometimes when I give direction to people who are new to my house, I would say, just go to the biggest house on my street. Golden West, which is this house. I'm the house next to it. And they will know exactly which house to go to because that house is ginormous. And so those are identifiers of the house, right? And for my male person, my mailman, the way he knows my house is because he knows my house is 4947 Golden West Avenue in Temple City. Don't write that down, okay? That's my address. And for most people who are sending me mails or whatever, letters and things, they will send that to that address. Now, let me show you something. But from the city's perspective, from the government perspective, from the IRS perspective, they don't identify my house that way. Here is what a description of on my house mortgage contract and legal documents of what my house will be identified by. By the way, this is not real, okay? I don't want to give away my real thing here. So this is just a makeup one, but it's basically we'll go like the lot 56 in block 212 in Temple City unit number 23 being a subdivision of the southeast quarter of the southwest quarter of section 18 town 34 north range 8 east of the 6th principal meridian according to the plat therefore recorded on January 1st 1963 as document number 9876543321 in book 42 of plats page 29 in Los Angeles County. In any legal documents, your house, your apartment, will come out in a bunch of jargon that you can care less to read through. But if you were the homeowner or the home seller, you want to make sure that someone, you are grateful that your real estate agent or the person, your lawyer, reads those things carefully. Because if at any point there's one of those numbers wrong, you're losing a corner of your house. A part of your land is gone. If a part of your land is gone, that means a part of your value of your land is gone. So this is very, very boring jargon. And when we look at Joshua chapter 13 to 20, again, it seems like it is very boring. But if you put yourself in the shoes of Israelites, even though there was a legal jargon, those are boring wordings and places of geography, those are extremely important things. In fact, they paint a picture of God's faithfulness to his people. God's faithfulness, even to the corner, to the city, to the boundaries, God is so faithful 100%. Remember last week I talked about how God is not faithful 99.9%. He is faithful 100%. He will see to it that everything that he promised us to be fulfilled. Now the point of this passage in the chapter 13, 21 to 21, the point is very simple. It said for the Israelites to go possess these land. Now for all of us here, none of us, I don't think, is Jewish. If you are, talk to me afterwards, I want to make sure. But none of us, most of us here are not. So we are not a part of these 12 tribes of Israel. The question you need to ask is, so how does this matter to my life now? Did God promise us a piece of land that we are supposed to go take possession of? That he has written in the Bible that I have this piece of land, I need this my inheritance, take this piece of land? How does this passage apply to me? How does this passage even matter to me? The answer I want to give you is this. It's yes and no. No, because God never promised you a piece of land. But he did promise you heaven. That there will be a great place one day that we will have all that we ever need and we will enjoy God forever. So no, God did not promise you a land. But yes, because God does call you and I to be involved, as we will see later, how to possess, how to inherit the earth now. And if you think about Matthew 28:19-20, the verse that we recite every single week, there is something that tells us that we are supposed to go into the world. And that's going to be how we will apply this. Now, if we really want to understand how we can possess and inherit the land, what does God, what these pastors have to do with us? We have to kind of understand why God gave this piece of land, this promised land to the Israelites in the beginning. I showed this last week. This promise did not come to Joshua or even to Moses. It was 500 years back when God made this promise to Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3 says this. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country 500 years before the people crossed the Jordan River. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This is the original promise that God gave Abraham and to his descendants and subsequently to all of Israelites. And if you look at this passage, there are three things that God promised to give to Abraham. He will get a great piece of land, a great nation, he will get a great family, and he will get a great name. On the surface, when you look at that, you're wondering, wow, that's a lot of good stuff. I want a big piece of land. I want a great family to have generations upon generations, and I won't have a great name. On the surface, it seems like all these blessings are toward who? Abraham. It's to bless Abraham. But when you look carefully in this promise, God's reason for blessing Abraham is not only to bless him. Because look at these words. I will make you great and have all these great things. The reason why is because I want you to be a blessing. I want you to be a blessing. And verse 3 says, in you, through you, you will be a blessing to all the families of the earth. Not just his family, but to all the families of the earth. So God made this promise to Abraham to inherit this great land, this great promised land, from the very get-go, was not just to give his family a great piece of land so that he can sell it, so he can farm it and make a lot of money, but it is through this great piece of promised land that God will bless the rest of the world. And this is going to be key for us as we continue to look at how we possess the land. Okay? Because this was never about Abraham or his family. It has always been about God blessing the rest of the nations, blessing the rest of the world, so that they will come to know God. And so 500 years back, God made this promise, and throughout these 500 years, God continued to help the Israelites understand what it means. And there's two main purposes, and he kind of unpacked it a little bit more to the Israelites. Two main key purpose for the promised land. Why God gave them this great piece of land filled with milk and honey. And the first reason is this, the first purpose is this, that God wants to restore his righteousness, his goodness on the land. If you think back to Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, sin enters into the world. Because of sin enters into the world, evil thrives in our land. One of God's great purpose for the Israelites to have a piece of promised land is because he wanted to get rid of all the evil. Last week, if you remember, we look at Leviticus 18, talks about how evil the people in Canaan, the land of Canaan, the promised land were. And here's what God said to the people of Israelites, the people of Israel. And here's what he says. It is before they enter into the promised land, before they even look at the promised land, here's what he said to the people. In Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 4. Do not say in your heart, after the Lord your God has thrusted them, meaning the people in the promised land, the Canaanites. Do not say in your heart, after the Lord your God has thrusted them out before you. Don't say this. Don't say it is because of my righteousness that the Lord has brought me in to possess this land. Whereas it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is driving them out before you. Not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart are you going to possess their land. But because of the wickedness of these nations, the Lord your God is driving them out before you, and that he may confirm the word that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. God is reminding the Israelites, it's not because you're really good that I'm rewarding you with this great piece of land. He said the reason why I gave you this piece of land is because I want to get rid of all the evil that was going on in that piece of land that has been festered for 500 years. I want to bring my righteousness, my goodness, I want to breathe goodness, the real goodness, into the land. Therefore, I'm going to kick them out so that you can come in and start living according to my way, so that you can go live out and be what the second purpose is, which is to be a window display to the whole world, to the nations. That as you occupy, possess the promised land, as you follow the way I call you to live, living in the right way, according to my commands and statutes, you will become for me and the rest of the world a window display of God. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5. He says this again to the Israelites. See, I have taught you statutes and rules as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do them in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. God is saying this to them before they enter. He's telling them, as you are going in, once you go in, I want you to live according to my rules, according to my commands. Why? Because of verse 6, keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples. Not just the Israelites, but all those who are in the promised land. Who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. That when they start living out, obeying God, that the people within the promised land will start noticing, you have something different. Your God had these rules and commands that really bless your life. When you obey them, God blesses you. And then you will constantly ask the question, what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon them? And what great nation is there that has statutes and rules so righteous as all this law that I set before you today? The reason why God gave them promise to take possession of it was so that they can live as a window display. So that people will ask the question, you look different in your life. And then they will ask you, why is your life so different? You can tell them, because I have a God who watches over me. I have a God who gives me these commands, not to burden me, but to help me to live righteous life so that I can follow in His way. You know what a window display is when you go to the mall? Do they put the raggedy stuff outside? What do they usually put in the window display? The best of the new stuff, right? Why? Show off. Okay, why do they want to show off? What's the purpose of putting it out there? To get draw the people what? Inside the store, right? And the Israelites were supposed to be the same exact way. That they are supposed to live faithfully to God. They will be the drawing, the attracting power to people who don't know Jesus yet, who don't know God yet, to enter in. And I believe when we talk about possessing the land, we don't have a land to possess today. Because God doesn't need us to raise an army to conquer the land, to buy up every single piece of land in this world. But what He does want us to do is the same thing, the reason, the purpose that He gave to the Israelites is to bring goodness into this world. Is to bring God's goodness into this world. Look at the movies, look at the TV shows, look at the music that we listen to. If you really take a step back and look and listen, a lot of it is not promoting goodness. A lot of it is promoting evil. A lot of it is promoting perversion. God doesn't need us to just buy up every single piece of land. What God wants us to do is He wants us to restore what is good. What a simple word, good. But what an underdeveloped word as well. We use that word so easily, isn't it? What's really good? The scripture tells us the only good there is what the scripture said is good. God Himself is the ultimate good. And what God calls us to do as believers and followers of Christ is that we need to bring God's righteousness and goodness into this world. That is how we can possess this land. But not only that, that we also become a window display to the nation. That you and I, as Christ followers, we possess the earth, the land here on earth, by showing to them who God is, who Christ is in our lives. I kind of frame it in a different way. And that's kind of the bottom line of my message today, really is. The way we possess and inherit the land now is not the way that Israelites have done. But what God had called us to do is, He has called us to bloom where we are planted. We are supposed to bloom like a plant, like a seed, where God has planted you. That is how we inherit the land. That is how we take possession of this land today. Not so much to buy, not so much to just own every piece of land. What God wants us to do is, He wants us to be like that plant, bearing fruit. What God wants us to do is, He wants us to, in every situation, every life stage, every environment, to make much of Jesus' name. So that people can see, so that people can hear, so that people can feel the love of Christ. That is the blessing. That was the original intent from the very get-go for Abraham to be blessed. He was blessed by God to be a blessing to the nations. And I believe the same thing is true, that you are to be blessed now so that you can be a blessing to the nations. You are called to bloom where you are planted by God. When we think about a plant, you know, oftentimes, just like the Israelites, you know, a plant cannot grow outside of a certain area, right? You plant a seed, they only grow really in that area. The Israelites, when we look at that passage, each one of the tribes, each one of the clans were promised a particular piece of land. While we're not promised a specific piece of land, I think God promises a group of people a sphere of influence. People that we are called, God has planted us to make a difference in their lives. See, when you think about your life, you are that one person, no matter where you're in school, the family, workplace, on the bus, on the school bus, at church, you have a sphere of influence, believe it or not, no matter how young, how old you are. God is the one who has planted you in that sphere of influence. It might be your best friend that's willing to share everything with you. Guess what? God has planted you there. It didn't happen by accident. God gave you that sphere of influence with that person. You might be someone that a younger person value and respect. They look up to you. Guess what? God planted you there so that you can make a difference, be a blessing to that person. Even with a stranger, you happen to be on the bus every single day going to school, going to work, but that person always sit, that stranger always sit in that corner and you never talk to that person. Guess what? God was the one who placed you in that sphere of influence. God's the one who planted you there. And the question is, are you blooming? Are you inheriting that sphere of influence? Are you possessing that sphere of influence so that you can be a window display for that person to come to know Jesus or to feel the love of Christ? And sometimes this possessing, this doing doesn't take a lot. It may be just a word that you need to say, maybe even not anything you need to say. All we need to do sometimes is just be a listening ear to a friend who is in trouble. We hear what they have to say. You can share with them, I can't even solve your problem, but guess what? I'm willing to pray for you because I know the one who can solve your problem. That is blooming where you're planted. That is making a sphere of influence, displaying and pointing the person to Jesus Christ. Maybe it is a person, not on Friday, those of you who are in youth group, we talk about how can we help each other as friends to grow in our faith. Maybe all you needed to do is that one awkward friend that actually can talk about serious stuff with your friend. In my group, we talk about how hard it is sometimes when we always just talk about fun, and like kind of shallow things. But whenever someone talks about serious things with friends, it seems awkward. But blooming where you're planted means, being a blessing to your friends means you are willing to speak up when the person you know is making a mistake. Even though you know you might risk that person not liking you. That's being a blessing. That's pointing that person to Christ. Or for those of us who are working, maybe we have a coworker that don't know Jesus and don't have no relatives in town and he or she is moving. Offering to pack boxes for them. Driving the box and helping him move, taking off a Saturday and saying, I have stuff to do, but hey, I'm going to go help this person. And when that person asks, why are you doing this? You have an opportunity to share with them, hey, I have this great group of brothers and sisters at church. They will do that same thing for me because Christ loves us, and I want to do the exact same thing for you. Hey, come check out our church. Meet some of these brothers and sisters. God has called each one of us to bloom where we are planted. That's the way we possess, that's the way we inherit the land today. But here's the problem. I think many times we get stuck in the now. I think there's two things. One thing is, many of us get lost in what we have to do on a daily basis. School, study, homework, chores, taking care of our children, going to work, meeting work deadlines. Well, I can go on and on and on. Every single day, we have these things that we must get done now. And we get lost of it, and we forget that there is a much greater purpose that God has put in me in this world. God did not plant you here as a seed to remain a seed. God planted you here on earth as a seed to bloom and to bear fruit, to point people to Jesus. That's the greater purpose that you have. But many times we get lost in that. And for some of us, we get lost in it. But for others of us, we want to get over that. We try to go to the future too quickly. We start chasing the future. We just want to get by now so that we can go to the next stage of life. I just need to endure middle school. Because by the time I get to high school, things will be much better. And those of you in high school are giggling, because by the time you get to high school, you're thinking, if I just endure high school just a little longer, college would be so much greater. And those of you in college are saying, just wait till you go to college, you know that it's not enough. By the time you get to college, you think, if I just get a job, life would be so much greater. And for those of you who work, you know that 9-to-5 job is not that much greater. When you start working, you think, if I just get to the future and be retired, life is so much greater. But I want to tell you something. Your now matters now. Because God is the one who planted you in your life stage, in your environment, to make a difference to the people around you. There will be people that you meet now, you will not meet in 2 years from now. But the question is, are you faithful to what God has placed you right now? Or are you too busy trying to get by this right now so you can go to the future and you completely lose track of what's going on right now where God has planted you? Your now matters now to you, to the people around you, and most importantly, your now matters now to God. Those of you who have summer break coming up, you have a tough choice to make. Every single day, you might go have nothing to do, or go to SAT school, or go to tutoring, or go to swimming lesson, piano lesson, whatever that you need to do. You have a choice to make every single day. Am I doing those things just for the sake of doing those things? Or am I going to make my now matters now? Am I going to bloom where God has planted me, even though I hated sitting there for 8 hours and for SAT? But is there something that God wants me to do? People that I can bless during those 8 hours. Those people who are suffering with you at the same time. And for those of us who are working, it's the same thing. There are things that we do every single day. We have a choice to make. Am I choosing to make my now matters now for God? And I believe that's what God calls to do. To inherit the land, to make a difference in this world, to be a window display for Him in this world. Let me end, I want to end with a little story here. This past Thursday, I got a chance to make a visitation. Not someone from this congregation, but the Chinese congregation. They have a couple of kids in our church, and I got a chance to visit them, the family, with Pastor Chung. I was really blessed by it, and one reason is because God reminded me how important this is. Because as the family was sharing with me what was going on, I see how important it is of the power of just one person. That if each one of us bloom where God has planted us, we're making a tremendous difference in people's lives that maybe way beyond what you can think or imagine. This family started coming to our church maybe 2 months ago. They've been in Alhambra for a long time. The mom came from China. She had a friend that she grew up with from like childhood, 5 years old. This friend of hers, they've been knowing each other 5 years. They ended up separating and doing their own things in life. And for whatever reason, I would say good God, but for whatever reason, they ended up meeting each other here in Los Angeles, of all places, in Alhambra. So they haven't kept in contact for a long time. So they met each other again here in Alhambra. They decided that, hey, let's get together. And then the mom asked this lady, hey, how about that friend, that close friend that you've been hanging with when you were a child? Where is she now? And as it turned out, she's in Alhambra as well. And it just so happened that she's one of the ladies that come to our church. And so they got together that Sunday, and then it was about 2:45 or 3 o'clock. And so they have to cut it short, obviously, because they have to come to what? Church, right? At 3:30. So the two ladies that would come to our church said, oh, we have to go at 3 o'clock. We've got to go to church. And then so she said, oh, what's this church thing? And so all they did was, hey, why don't you just come? They just take full advantage of that sphere's influence where God had planted them. They just ask the question, why don't you just come with your kids to our church? Just check it out. If you don't like it, don't come back. But just come. And they came. By that simple question, out of that, the mom ended up coming to our church consistently for 2 months. And she told us at the visitation, I have never been to a church like your church. I actually experienced God. And she said, I used to have a Bible in my home. I don't even believe in Jesus, but someone gave me a Bible. But now, I'm actually reading it every single day. All of a sudden, things just make sense to me. I feel God as I read the scripture. And her two kids, they come every Friday and they come every Sunday. And you would think that, oh, the mom come to know Christ, great. But guess what? The older daughter told me that the brother doesn't listen in Sunday school. And guess what she did? Every Sunday on the way home, she would teach the lesson she learned in her own Sunday school to her brother on the ride back home. So that he will listen to what God has to say. A simple question, a simple act of blessing, a simple act of asking the question. Blooming where you are planted. As a result of that, the mom, the sister, and the younger brother start coming to church, come to know Jesus. And that's not the end of it. The dad is not a believer yet. And when we were leaving that visitation, we were praying with them together. That let's pray that your father, that your dad, your husband will come to know the Lord. And the mom said, I don't know how's that going to happen, but I'm going to pray in faith that it will happen. Simply two people asking the question, inviting a person to come to know, come to church. Blooming, taking advantage, blooming where God has planted us. I think all of us here can do that. And as we end today, I want to give us a minute to just close our eyes and bow our head. And I want you to pray and ask God to give you a few people in your mind right now. Think through the week. Who do you see every single day? Who do you see every single week? Who are the people that God is awakening you to pay attention to that you can ask the questions to? You can show an act of kindness. You can be a blessing to. And I want you to commit that those people into God and ask God to help you to bloom where you're planted today. I want to give us a minute for you to respond to God before we close in a word of prayer. Who are the people that God has placed in your life? Where has God planted you today, this year, this week? Ask Him, ask God to help you to take possession of those spheres of influence. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this time. We're thankful for your word. In Isaiah 55, you said that your word will never return to you empty, but will accomplish all that you have set out to do. And Father, we pray in faith that what we have heard from you, Lord, from your own word, will cut deep into our hearts today. So that this week we may be blooming in every interaction, every environment that we're planted by you. God, I ask, Lord, that you will bring to mind, bring to our awareness, give us boldness and faithfulness to be a window display for you this coming week. Lord, I long to hear and long to give you thanks for all, many more stories like the family that I've shared about today. That as we stay faithful to you, Lord, you would do your amazing work. And that one day, as we have sang earlier, that every knee will bow, and that every tongue will confess that you are a great God and almighty God. We long for that day when we will worship you in heaven, to hear the thundering roar of worship to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I actually found this in my office. I don't know, remember when I ordered this. But I thought it would be appropriate, just as a little takeaway for you. I think I did a long time ago for another reason, for another thing, but I never passed it down. But here's a little kind of wristband for you to remind you. On the outside, it says, I'm a missionary. Because I think that's what we're called to do, right? We're all missionary this week for the rest of our lives on earth. Inside, it says, representing Christ daily. And I just want to pass it out to you. You know, you can wear it or put it on your desk. And you can, hopefully this will serve as a reminder that you will be able to bloom where God has planted you today. And yeah, that will be a good reminder and challenge for you this coming week.